Welcome back to BCM Unscripted. Today, we again are here with Tyler and Carson, and we want to talk a little bit about leadership and leadership development. It's a big part of what we do at the BCM. I think sometimes it's just so much a part of what we do and within our DNA that we don't really talk about it necessarily as much. We just sort of do it. And so today, we want to talk about it. And so, I think to set the stage, Tyler and Carson, we'll start with you, Carson. I guess explain what our leadership structure is and like how that plays out in the life of the BCM. Like how do we choose leaders? What do they do? What is that structure, et cetera? She was not prepped for this at all, so she's giving me kind of a look like, thanks a lot, Tommy. So, Carson, we'll see if you know your job, basically. So, here we go.
You want me to explain the entire structure of the BCM leadership?
Like, no, just like what we have, what do we have? Like, what do we do and what do we have? I mean, like the 30-second version of it.
Okay. Well, number one, we have obviously staff. That's not really included on leadership. But from there, we have our president. That's
your role is definitely included in leadership development.
Okay, in leadership development.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
not,
yeah. Yeah.
Tell me.
It's okay. It's all right. Go ahead. Y'all see what I have to deal with every day?
What?
I'm kidding, Carson. Go ahead. You're doing great.
I think they're really getting a full picture of what I have to do.
Probably so. Go ahead, Carson.
So we have staff, and then we have our president, who is our leader of the BCM student leadership team, leader of the exec team. Under that president, we have 4 vice presidents. They don't have specific roles under our new leadership structure. They're an overall admin role. They do lots of important things and help with the next role underneath them, which is our team leaders. And we have 7 team leaders.
Or 8 or 9.
Or 9 or however many we have. And
I'm glad you didn't say 6 because then I'd have to say 4, 7.
Actually 7.
Oh, and you still made the joke.
I did.
Do you want me to say what they are?
No, because it does change a little bit every year.
Yeah.
They are over the teams that help us do what we call sort of our weekly main things.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So like then, what makes us who we are.
So we have our team leaders, and then kind of depending on the team, they almost all of them have a group of people, a group of students that they are generally over,
right?
Whether that's people that just participate on that team or they have some sort of role, like the worship team, for example, there's instrumentalist, vocalist, whatever. And then for like the evangelism team, like it's the people that come out the 2x2 and come to tabling. So
right.
It kind of looks different for each team, but the team leaders are responsible for that. And then technically we have our small group leaders as well. And they're on a little bit of a different structure because they run by school year, whereas the rest of our leadership runs by calendar year, which is why we're having this podcast today, because we are in the midst of choosing our leadership for next year, 2026.
Yeah, so it's fresh on our minds.
Yeah.
And, the kind of the tip of the spear for us as a ministry are our small group leaders, just because freshmen and transfers that come in, like we are plugging them into a small group as fast as we can to build community, to meet people, et cetera. But then really kind of the trellis and the vine can sort of deal, like the trellis that everything sort of functions and works off of is our actual leadership team, right? Which is the president and the VPs and then those team leaders. And, we do January to December with them. Which when we first went to that model, I think was for a couple reasons. One, the most important time for us every year is like August, September, because we're meeting new students. We've got Welcome Week events. We're getting everything kicked off. And so we needed more time to really be prepared for that. And so starting those team leaders in January gives us more time. But the other thing I think that helps us with them starting in January is that it sort of provides a little bit of an overlap with the previous team leaders. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like those previous team leaders have just peaced out on us, right? They're still around. It's second semester, even if they're graduating in May. And so there's a little bit more of a continuity. And then the other thing is that we thought that by starting in January, and I say this lightly or softly, we thought that it would give us more of an opportunity to plug in freshmen sooner, like in their second semester. I think the reality is what we're realizing is that there's only so many spots. And so we're still getting those freshmen plugged in sooner, but for a lot of them, it may end up being that they are small group leader first, and then they like roll into a team lead role, like January of sophomore year, right? And so just depending on what our needs are and what our numbers are that year. So yeah, so that's our structure. And obviously structure drives a lot of what you do. But Tyler, how do you think all this plays out in regards to like just developing leaders in general? How does this work?
Sure. Yeah, this is probably the reason I'm most passionate about leadership development is because I've seen it in my own life and also in the lives of others where people were challenged to take on a task or to lead a group of people or think about something in a more abstract manner that requires vision. Those are all very helpful skills in life. Right. And quite honestly, those are skills that people in Gen Z are generally lacking, right? I mean, I'm part of a generation that, you know, went to school during COVID and all the rest, and critical thinking skills have been eroded since then. And so I think that through our leadership development, we have an opportunity to kind of rekindle those flames and get our students thinking about how they can use their time and resources and abilities strategically for the gospel.
Right.
But you're also going to have to think about how to use your time, resources, and an opportunity strategically when you lead a family.
Right.
Or even if, you know, you just lead a Sunday school class or whatever. It could be a non-spiritual context. But these are important skills that I think that we are helping to foster in the context of Christian leadership. Right. And I think it's the best context to foster all those important skills.
Yeah, I think there's something unique about, and I would say this to like our churches, like if you're a church and you're like, well, why should my students be a part of the BCM, especially if we've got like a large college ministry and all these different types of things? I would say that part of what does make us unique is that leadership structure. And a lot of our churches do have their own like leadership structures and internships and et cetera. But what's interesting, if you look at those, most of those are actually modeled after what a BCM did first. I mean, I'm not trying to say it, but like if you look at a lot of our structures, I can tell you a BCM somewhere in Georgia that had that structure. And a lot of that comes from, even in a lot of cases, a college pastor or someone that's leading that college ministry having been involved in a campus ministry. One of the things that makes us unique and I think fast tracks the leadership development is the fact that we are student led,
yeah.
Right? Now, vision for what we do in a lot of ways is still going to come from us as staff. I think our students understand that. But we really do work with them to try to give them a lot of freedom in figuring out how to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. And we asked our students, what's it mean to be a missions outpost? Well, hopefully part of the answers, and a lot of the answers we heard, reference, whether said directly or indirectly, sort of living on campus as a missionary. And for my friends who are missionaries, for Carson, the time you spent, you know, overseas during the summer, for folks that come back from, you know, Gen Sin trips, et cetera, one of the things that people sometimes struggle with and have to really adjust to is that it's not a 9-to-5 calendar or schedule each day, right? It's not I show up at the office, I do my work, and I go home. But a lot of times when you're on the mission field, you're creating opportunities through relationships, through being in the community, et cetera, to get the gospel to people. And so what our leadership structure does in a lot of ways is it provides this freedom for students to know, here's what I need to do in this role, i.e., I'm the team lead for evangelism. Tommy, what do you want me to do? You know what? I want you to make sure the gospel is being shared by our students on campus.
Right.
That's what I want you to do. Well, how you want me to do it? Figure it out.
Right.
Right? Let's go zero-based planning on this thing. Let's think about. Now, I'll tell you, hey, here's some things that have worked in the past. Here's some things that are like non-negotiables. We got to do these because it's part of who we are. But above and beyond that, man, like it's you get a lot of freedom in these roles. And I think that's what's neat about what we do. And I think it's why it fast tracks a lot of people. I think it's also why, if you were to look at it from a percentage basis standpoint, there is a significantly high percentage of our students who end up discerning some call into ministry because they're living out their life on campus around their peers, really in a missionary role and with that mindset, particularly if they've come through any part of our leadership development. And so it fast tracks them thinking about people as a lost person or as a person who knows Christ but needs to grow in their faith.
Right.
And then having to figure out new creative ways to further that and further the gospel. So, yeah. So that's what I love about what we do, I think.
I agree. And I think that you're right to bring up kind of the fruit of that at the end.
Yeah.
I remember when my first leadership position at the BCA was the evangelism team lead. And Allie at the time had me pick like a location for our Run for Christ thing. And so I was like zooming in on random parks in Jacksonville. And, you know, I picked one. I can't look back on it and say it was like the greatest location ever, but we did it.
Yeah.
That's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is that like there was a real expectation that I followed through on that and actually did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so now on the other side of that, and I, you know, served time as president last year, served time. That sounds bad, doesn't it?
Sometimes it may have felt that way. I don't know.
But yeah. But anyway, but now on the other side of that, like we get to present, like you were saying, Tommy, students with opportunities to go zero-based and say, mm-hmm. hey, like you kind of make it what you want it.
Right.
And that can be intimidating for a lot of students. And I want to say, you know, to any of our students who are listening to this, like we understand that. Like we know that we're making very high demands of you, right? And ultimately, we believe that will help growth and development in the future, yeah. mm-hmm. right? I mean, Tommy's a coach. He knows this better than anybody else. But like when I played baseball, I played well for the coaches that I knew had expectations for
right.
me. And so maybe that's some of Tommy's coaching habits coming out in the way he leads the ministry. But legitimately, if there's not demands and expectations there, then you know, we couldn't sit back and say, look at the fruit we've seen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there's been students that have been called and stretched and motivated to do things, I believe, because we're giving them very real demands and tasks and expectations.
And I think, too, it's kind of funny. Right now, and I'm not saying, Carson, you're not this way, or you are this way. You can speak to this if you want to. But, like, right now, at least two of the three of us sitting here around this iPhone, you do have an iPhone, right?
That's a Galaxy S22 Plus.
So if there's an issue with the quality of this, it's because what Tyler is using to record it. I'm sorry, guys. but seriously, two of the, like for me, and I have heard students say, and Carson, I think I've even heard you say, that like the way that Tyler and I function in a leadership role a lot of times is that we give a student a task or we give a student a responsibility. And it is our expectation that they're going to do what we've tasked them with or given them a responsibility. We're not going to necessarily handhold them, right? And some people would say that's giving them enough, you know, I don't know, rope to get in trouble kind of thing, right? I don't know. But, like, at the same time, you know, we don't want students to fail. And so I probably am even quicker than maybe even some of my predecessors or even some of my peers that I will jump in if I see like, uh-oh, this is going to be a failure. But what is unique about us compared to the local church is that if a student tries to do something from a ministry standpoint in a leadership role on campus and it doesn't go well, nobody's losing their job over it, right? The church isn't dying because of it, right? Yeah. Kids are graduating in 3 or 4 years and nobody in 3 years is going to even know that it happened and went that poorly. And so it gives us the freedom that a lot of churches may not have to allow students the opportunity to try things they may not otherwise have tried. And sometimes it goes amazingly well. I'll never forget, I was at the local church and one of our former presidents, Mark Grace, this is one of the reasons why I'll give you a little dive into our leadership process because we're student org. students pick the leaders and all those kind of things, right? We have like a committee basically that chooses like those positions, et cetera. And obviously as staff, like we're kind of overseeing that and involved in conversations and so forth. You know, the president's a significant role. And so I will speak into that with conversations and et cetera, pretty strongly if I need to in some situations. But I'll never forget, and I don't know, maybe Mark is listening to this or maybe some of the people that were in the room are listening to this, but I'll never forget having some conversations about how strongly I felt about Mark having the ability to be in that role as president. And the reason that I had those conversations and the reason that I felt so strongly about that was literally because of one major thing. And it was because the first time he applied for leadership, I was still at Beach Haven. And they gave him a new role. And this was back when we had like 60-something people in leadership. So apparently like 2/3 of the ministry was a leader, right? And so we cleaned that up a little bit. But I'll never forget Mark coming to me and going, I've got this new role. And they basically told me, figure out what to do with it. And I'm trying to figure it out. And I was like, and Mark explained to me what the role was. And I was like, man, I have no idea. I can't really help you with that, right? And then I'll never forget a couple weeks later, Mark coming back to me. This was when I was his college pastor, right? And I think he was a sophomore. And he goes, I think I have an idea. And out of nothing, basically just the title he was given, he created this ministry that ran for 2 years at the BCM where we partnered, they and then we, once I came on board, partnered with a local church and a local pastor who provided funding for us to take all those students that were called into ministry and to have different people come in and speak once a month into their lives. And that came out of just, hey, Mark, here's a title, here's a role, figure out what to do with it. Now, we're a little more structured than that now, don't get me wrong, right? But my ability, or the ability for me to see Mark take that and create something out of nothing said, that guy's got to be our president one day.
For sure.
Right? And he, and now he's, you know, he's successful in the business world already, et cetera. And, you know, he's still piddled around in some ministry things, doing some children's stuff at some places and so forth. And so that's when it goes good. Right. That's when it goes really, really good. But if you don't give them enough freedom to also fail, it doesn't really develop them as fast. And we only have them 4 years. And nowadays, we only have them 3 years. Like, I was looking at videos the other day and I was realizing people were like, yeah, I'm graduating here. I'm doing student teaching here. And I'm like, well, you ain't been here but 2 years.
Right.
Right. So we got to do it faster. Carson, have you seen things like that? I don't know. Maybe like, how did it fast track you?
Yeah. Well, my situation, I think, was a little bit different.
We just skipped some things, didn't we?
Yeah, I skipped a couple steps.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was on leadership my sophomore year. I knew that I wanted to be on leadership. I was the missions mobilization catalyst.
Yes,
was my title.
The old system.
Yeah, the old system. It was really fun. I got to do Send Me Now. I just come back from my very first mission trip. And I think you guys who picked leadership and Allie, who was a campus missionary then, and y'all really, I guess, noticed my, like, me discerning a call into missions, a call into ministry of some sort, and my leadership abilities, and just really came alongside me, and I know that I've grown exponentially because of the leadership process at the BCM, because of the opportunities that y'all give all students.
It's but not that much different then. Like, I'm sitting here hearing you go back. Like, I don't know how many steps you really skipped. You just didn't get to be president.
I didn't get to be president. I didn't get to join. I wasn't on the
exec. Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, I went to a staff role after that honestly, like, I mean, I grew a lot last year. I was sitting here thinking, like, Beverly, when we have our staff, like, retreats or our campus missionary, whatever, when the very first one, she's always talking about our role. What's your role for your leadership team? What's your role for your BCM? And the main thing is always leadership development.
Right.
And when people ask me, what do I do for the BCM? I always say, discipleship and leadership development.
Right.
And it's one of my favorite things to talk about. It's one of my favorite things. It's really cool. And I can't imagine being you, like, seeing just group after group after group, like class after class after class of leaders grow into the people that they are now, the people that they are now, and in the ministry positions they are now, or working their full-time gigs and doing all these great things. Like, I've seen, this is my second year on staff, and I've already seen so much growth. I was sitting watching the rest of the leadership application videos this morning, actually, before our meeting, and just in case we were going to talk about it or whatever. Right. And I was sitting them, and I was like, I need to text them, or I need to write them a letter. Like, I've just seen so much growth mm-hmm. in them. They're awesome. They fully understand the mission of the BCM, and like, from being a freshman last year or a freshman 2 years ago, just exponential growth in Christ. Like, yeah. it's not from us. Like, right. We're not doing these things. We're just facilitating the work that Christ is going to do in their lives.
Yeah.
Doing what we're called to do so they can do what they're called to do. So yeah, it's been awesome. But I've seen it in my own life. It's been actually insane, but it's really cool to see in the students.
Yeah. I think, one of the coolest things you're talking about my job, and then you also said something about like leadership development and discipleship. So Tyler, I want to say something about my job, and then I want you to talk about how that plays out, like leadership development, discipleship. Are they separate? Are they actually the same thing? Like, what that looks like? Cause I know you want to speak to that. This is unscripted, but Tyler did specifically say he wanted to speak to that. So we're going to throw him a softball in just a second, true. Right?
Appreciate that.
So, Carson, one of the cool things about, and I do think some of this is from, like, the coaching background, too, like, that makes this rewarding, is that, you know, when I was coaching, you know, we had a feeder program for 10- and 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds. We had a 7th grade team, an 8th grade team, a 9th grade team, a JV team, and a varsity team, all within our program in Jackson County. And one of the coolest things was watching guys, like my last graduating class, like I got to watch them from the time they were 10 years old through like our local rec program there. And then they started playing some travel stuff and so forth. And I got to watch them all the way until they were seniors. One of the reasons I literally waited one extra year before I left Jackson County to go to Beach Haven is because I wanted to see those guys graduate and like see what they could do. And what's really awesome is I went back to watch Brady play JV football at Jackson County, and one of the guys that was from that class is coaching there now, and that was pretty cool. And then to think about from a ministry side of things, that I get to go to church on Sunday and Ben Statham lead us in worship.
Right.
To know that even y'all's role is like campus missionaries, like it's part of that. And to go, see Caroline Chester serve at First Baptist Watkinsville in her role with girls ministry. To know that, you know, Elias Cabrera, who came through my college ministry at Beach Haven and then the BCM in leadership, and to know that I go to watch Brady play a baseball game in Houston County, and Elias walks up and he's there watching some of his kids and his student ministry play because he's a student pastor down there. That's where I think, to throw you a softball, Tyler, you see the leadership development and the discipleship stuff like combine. And I think it's why it makes this role rewarding.
For sure.
Because campus ministry is hard in a lot of ways because you can never fully project like what's going to happen from a number side of things. And I'm a scoreboard watcher, right? Because that's my background. And so every year is so different. And like a year where you're like, man, we're going to blow this thing out of the water. And then all of a sudden you're like, I don't know what happened on campus. Nobody's going to any campus ministries, right? And you're like, what happened? And it's things like that that sort of, I think, gets you through some of those periods of time where it's like February or March and it's cold outside and nobody's wanting to walk across campus and you had 350 in August and now there's 140 in the room, right? It's the literally last year, it was during that period of time where I travel to Houston County and I see Elias and I go, okay, this is worth it. This is the point. And so, so you, Tyler, cause I don't have anything else to say about that. How does that play out? Like discipleship, leadership development. I mean, I gave great examples of people who we've seen, like, but I did it more from a ministry standpoint.
Sure.
How do you see that play out?
Yeah, you know, I want to frame this in the context of discipleship, as Tommy alluded to earlier. And Jesus talks about discipleship a lot. We have an entire podcast on it. I'm not going to repeat that. But I do want to focus on the numerous times throughout the Gospels that Jesus says, you know, if you want to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross and follow me. Luke says, take up your cross daily and follow me. And I find it to be so rewarding to see freshmen that have come in and maybe they started tabling with us. And they asked me, well, what do we say to students, you know, when they come by and ask, what's the BCM? And I'd tell, hey, you know, we're a campus ministry. You could tell them, you know, we exist to connect students to Christ Community Church as our calling. You give them the mission statement spiel if you want to. But what I always said is that I want to hear what the BCM has meant to you. I want to hear what the Lord's done in your life through this ministry. And you might have only been here for a month because you're a freshman, right? But you've come to, you know, three or four of our gatherings. You've, you know, seen what the Lord's done already. That's the testimony I want you to tell. And the point of me giving that little intro is to say that I've seen students who, you know, maybe used to regurgitate the mission statement at tabling, you know, actually come to observe what the Lord has done for them. They've come to see how they themselves have grown. And that puts them in a position to be a strong leader on campus of whether it's with our ministry or any other ministries. It puts them in a position of strength and clarity. As I watch the videos, I'm really encouraged that there really has been a renaissance, if you will, in leadership within our ministry, I believe. So many people that did those videos are high quality folks.
And
quite frankly, we just don't have positions for all of them.
Yeah.
And that's a blessing. It really is. But I'm really thankful. I'm blown away, honestly, by the progression we've seen over the past 3 years, my time being involved. I remember, Tommy, you making a joking statement my freshman year because there was like one guy on leadership.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, man, at this rate, we're in danger of becoming a sorority. but like as a guy and pouring into you know, men's leadership as president over the past 2 years and now on staff, like to see so many strong men apply for leadership and discern a call to ministry, that's encouraging. Outside of the campus ministry role, that's encouraging on the societal level, right?
Right.
There's men stepping up that want to lead.
Yeah.
And I think that at an increasing rate, our leaders are processing that in the context of, you know, how can I take up my cross? How can I lay aside my agenda to serve these people? That's the kind of community we want to create. It might not feel that way all the time when we're saying, hey, here's some tasks we want you to do.
Right.
Because we're sitting back and observing how you're handling those tasks. Are you handling those tasks with an attitude of humility?
Right.
Or are you just saying, well, this is stuff that, you know, that BCM staff wants me to get done? Right. Like we're observing how you're handling those things, and it's important. And I want, I just want our students to hear our heart behind that. Because yes, we do talk about the task and stuff we have to get done. Those are important.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's the discipleship. It's are you laying down your agenda and taking up the cross of Christ? That's what matters. And we get to see that on a special level with our leadership development strategy.
Yeah.
I think there's something about this age, like this like period in your life as a college student. You're here at the University of Georgia. You're trying to figure out, you know, last Friday? I know we did tabling in 2x2 yesterday. Last Friday, we met two young men, and we're talking with them, and in that conversation, made the comment, I thank the guy for giving us his time or whatever, and I was like, I mean, look, you're at the University of Georgia. You're trying to figure out who you are and what you're going to do with your life. Like, so I guess this conversation, you know, is actually kind of fitting, right? Because, you know, I said, so what better thing to do than also talk about spiritual things, right? And I do think there is something unique about how we're positioned in collegiate ministry,
right?
As a campus ministry, that that also helps us in the fast tracking of that discipleship and that leadership development, because there is this window of time where students are really figuring out who they are and what they're doing.
Right.
Right. They're really figuring out, what does God want me to do with the rest of my life? Or they're really figuring out, like, you know what? I haven't really been following Jesus the way that I should. Or they're really figuring out for the first time in their life, like, okay, yeah, I know this is what it meant to be a Christian, but, like, you mean I need to actually then do something that impacts the people around me, right? Like, it's going from I'm just the good church kid to, like, no, I got lost friends. Like, no, I've got, like, I can make an impact.
Right.
And so there's something unique about that, too, that I think helps us in what we do. That, I mean, I can think back to my life, and I can think about, like, I mean, Carson, you mentioned it, how much you've grown. Tyler, you mentioned it, how much you've grown. Like, that window of time in my life, how much changed and how much I grew. And so, you know, this may be a hot take. Students are going to go very quickly in one direction or the other when they come to the University of Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, parents should know that,
right,
when they send their students here. Churches have to know that. Like, just students need to know that. You are very quickly going to go one direction or the other. I'll never forget, I got a phone call last year from a grandfather, like, in a different state, who called me and was so concerned about their grandson, because their grandson had gotten involved in fraternity, had started drinking heavily, and within the course of a year and a half, was spiraling, fell in classes, everything going south. And this grandfather was like, can you help me? He was actually an old retired Baptist pastor. And he was like, can you help me? And the problem was, is like, it's just one of, you know, 36,000 on-campus students, one of 40,000 plus students. And there was no way for me other than to just show up at the fraternity and knock on this door, which that wouldn't have went very well, right? Like, there was no, I was helpless in that moment, other than I was like, do you know any of his friends? Is there any way that I can get in contact with him? And so we talked for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and you could hear the grandfather's just heartbroken over his grandson, who had been involved in the local church, who had gotten here and just had year and a half, that fast. So I would say, like, if you're hearing this, like, as a student, as a parent, as a church, as a pastor, whatever, when your students get here, and it isn't just here, like, you say, oh, well, we'll just send them to, you know, Truett, Toccoa Falls, Shorter, Bruton Parker, you name it, the Christian school, and they'll be fine there.
Yeah.
I went to Shorter. I played baseball. I can promise you it happened that fast there too, right? So the thing is you want to find yourself in a community, and you want to find yourself in a setting where that the development is not you falling off a cliff, right, of developing bad habits, of developing sinful habits,
right,
of developing things that can mess you up for a lifetime. But instead, you want to find yourself in places that are developing you in a very upward trajectory,
for sure,
very quickly. And I think we get positioned to help do that.
We do, and I'm glad you mentioned the impact thing, because, Carson, I want to ask you a question, because I know that you're really a high-performing student in high school, and my understanding, I went to a tiny Christian school, so we didn't have a lot of, like, the extracurricular clubs that people do.
Right.
But I assume that nowadays, to get in the University of Georgia, not only do you have to have a GPA through the roof, but you also have to have, you know, leadership positions in,
yes,
whatever clubs people do. I say, I don't know. Carson, you might be more familiar with that. But, like, I don't want to come off the wrong way saying this, but a lot of times these things in high school seemed, dare I say, contrived. right? Of, oh, I just want to pad my resume so I can make it look good before I get to college. And there might be some impact that comes from it. There might not. But I don't know. I'm just kind of want to open up the floor to that. Like, how do you think, what's that transition like between, like, maybe trying to piddle around with some leadership stuff in high school versus, oh, yeah, my leadership actually matters. And if I don't take advantage of this opportunity, there's going to be people that, that don't hear the gospel.
Right.
They're going to remain lost, all that kind of stuff. How's that take place?
Well, I think there's a lot that goes into that. And I think that whoever is over you as a student, especially in high school, there's a lot of discernment on their part to decide, okay, can this student actually do this role? I mean, we deal with this. Can this student actually, like y'all said, can y'all give a job and they take it, take charge, do it to its full potential, or do I need to come alongside them? Would that be more beneficial? Do they need to see the steps of the process? Do I need to talk it out with them? Like, where are they in their leadership capabilities? Where do they need to grow? So I think there's a lot of discernment that comes in that. And in high school, I was given a lot of leadership opportunities and I loved them. It, of course, I like wanted to get into UGA. I wanted to go to a good school and I did consider the things for my resume, but also I just kind of, I don't know, like naturally that like those were the things I wanted to do.
Yeah,
like
good.
I wanted to be in the leadership position. Like I wanted to grow. I wanted to, but I also had a relationship with Christ. And I think, I really do think there is a direct correlation. I mean, when you are following Christ, when you understand your full purpose and your goal on this earth is to make disciples and to lead others closer to Christ, your whole mindset about everything should change. And if you're given a leadership opportunity as a Christian, you should use it to its full potential, whether it's a leadership opportunity in a ministry or not.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of, that played into why I viewed my leadership roles in high school so diligently. And like I was leading teams and I also didn't want to fail them. I didn't want them to fail. And so there was some responsibility there. But I think that plays into college well. And I think that if someone is doing leadership things in high school or taking all these classes or doing whatever just for a resume, just to get in, and double if they are a non-believer, they're going to come to college, they're going to have burnout, and they're not going to see a purpose in finding those opportunities here.
I know we're about to run short on time, so I'll make this fast, but but I'll tell you this, like, you can spot that.
Yeah.
Like, as a campus minister, in the application process, in the conversations where people come up to you and have conversations looking for particular opportunities, et cetera. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you can spot very quickly, like, this is a kid who's wanting to build a resume versus this is a kid who, like, loves Jesus and is wanting to be discipled and develop leadership skills and to make a difference, right? And so I think there's both. I think there's both. Mm-hmm. And typically that plays out in our interactions very quickly on the front end. The other thing that I do want to mention before we close this up is you talked about how that, like, you, as a believer, you wanted leadership opportunities, even not within, like, a ministry or et cetera, right? And I think that is one of the things that we can't miss as a BCM.
Right.
So, like, I mentioned, you know, Ben Statham, Elias, Caroline. Like, I could go through the list. There's, like, a dozen students, right, in the last, like, 6 years or 5 years, however long I've been here, that's come through here that's, like, serving either part-time or full-time at a local church, or, you know, Allie's on the mission field with the IMB. Like, I mean, it's insane. The amount of students within a short five-year period of time that we've seen called into ministry that are already in these jobs, plugged in, serving. You know, at one point, like, I'll give a shout out to, like even like Connect Camps. Like, at one point they were employing, I think they still are, four of our former presidents. And it's not a local church, but it's literally a ministry that connects churches to the community through this camp ministry right during the summer. And so even students that aren't, like, necessarily serving in churches or serving in other parachurch organizations, et cetera. And then the other thing, though, that I would say is that it's easy to look at that and get excited about that. But, like, I also look at it and I go, we just had a student, like, win Miss Georgia, right? Mm. We just had, I mean, seriously, right? Like, we just had a student who's still here, not a former student, right? One was a former student, right? But now a student that's still just here who started a Christian business organization, like, through Terry, right? Who isn't going to serve necessarily in a role for us in this next term of, like, leadership, because this thing he started's become so big, he's got to roll with it. Like, that's, those are big wins too.
For sure.
Right? Those are big wins too. And so, I don't know. I mean, Tyler, you're kind of in that role where, like, you're going to be transitioning out of here to a really cool opportunity in, like, the business world, but yet also trying to potentially do some stuff, maybe bivocational, maybe just serving and being a great, like, Sunday school teacher, small group leader, whatever. Like, how does that play out? And I think this is a good place for us to finish. How does that play out, not just in developing people for the mission field and full-time ministry, but also how does that play out in developing, through our leadership development program and through our discipleship, students who are making a difference in the secular world as well?
Right, right. I remember one time the question was posed, I don't know who posed it, but to summarize the Bible in one word. And Tommy, I overheard you say that if you could summarize the Bible in one word, you would use the word redemption.
Uh-huh.
It's the story of Christ's redemption of, you know, of us from our sins, obviously. But an extension of that is the understanding is that our circles of influence, the opportunities that we're given, are areas of redemption that God has entrusted us with.
Right.
And we need to be faithful in trying to redeem those areas. I talk about, every year to our leadership team, talk about redeeming the time. There's a passage in Ephesians chapter 5 about being redeemers of the time. And I'm such a big believer in that, because if we don't look at the area around us and treat it as an area of redemption, then the world's going to take it over, and it's going to do what the world does, and that's kill, steal, and destroy.
Right.
And we're seeing that in, honestly, areas of culture where God is not feared.
Right.
And we lament those areas, and we say, man, we wish it could be better. Well, it's time for Christian leaders to step up and make those areas better, right?
Right.
And the progress might not be as fast as we might like for it to be sometimes, right? But it's just absolutely paramount. I couldn't stress it enough how important it is for faithful Christians to take opportunities that they're given and ask themselves, how can I use this for the glory of God?
Right.
And that might result in taking opportunities outside the church.
Right.
There might be better opportunities that exist outside of a ministry context because the people you're able to reach there.
Yeah.
And the kind of relationships you're able to have. I talked with a lady this summer up in Indiana who worked at the church that I was going to, and was talking about she had just taken a job outside the church to work remotely for like some company in Europe or whatever that does like yacht stuff, like really obscure whatever. But she said that she was looking forward to it because she knew two particular people that also worked for that company that she was thinking about sharing the gospel with already. Wow. But it's like, this is a ministry that kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right. But that's something that the Lord's using because somebody was faithful in using their leadership opportunities for the glory of God. So I can't stress that enough. I could talk about it for a lot longer, but our time is running short today. Fall break is upon us.
Yes.
Georgia plays Florida this weekend. If you're going down there, be safe. If you're not going down there, enjoy a long weekend. And we'll be back at it again on Monday with a choir. I'm excited.
That's right.
We'll catch y'all in the next one.